Okay, good evening, and it's Parshat Lech Lecha this week. Very important parsha for a number of reasons. One reason being, of course, that it's the parsha in which Avraham Avinu is promised that he's going to get Eretz Yisrael. And this is what tells us that Eretz Yisrael belongs to Am Yisrael and that it is our inheritance. And very important for us to be hearing this just now in these days. Always with Parshat Lech Lecha, Rav Amital Zichrono Livracha, the Rosh Yeshiva of Gush, he used to say that Parshat Bereshit and Parshat Noach are important in terms of Emunah, but in terms of telling us who we are, the Torah starts with Parshat Lech Lecha. It's Avraham Avinu being chosen as the founder of Am Yisrael, the founder of the Jewish faith. So we're going to look at a number of points in the parasha. Again, we don't have time to take anything through in great depth, but certainly going to try and look at a few thoughts here, and going to share with you a Daf Makorot. We're going to start at the beginning of the Sedra. Vayomer Adonai El Avram, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha Mimoladetecha Mibeit Avicha El Haaretz Asher Areka. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram, go from your land and from your birthplace and from your father's house, El Haaretz Asher Areka, to the land that I'm going to show you. And of course, as we well know, there are lots of points to think about in this context. But I want to just focus on one, which is addressed by a number of the Mefarshim. The order seems to be incorrect here. The order is telling Avraham to go from his land, then his birthplace, and then his father's house. But usually, in a physical sense, you would first leave your father's house. Then you sort of, were born in Hendon, you would leave Hendon, then you would leave your birthplace, you'd leave London, and then finally you'd leave your country, you'd leave England. So why is it in this reverse order? Achar sha'ama me'artzecha, ein makom lomar mimoladetcha, kibitzeito me'artzo, hinehu yotzei gam mimoladeto. The Or HaChaim says, since it said me'artzecha, leave your land, then obviously you're leaving your birthplace. Achein hatam hu liyot ki be'erech tsar ha'preida. He says, but we're not looking at it from a geographical perspective. We're looking at it from an emotional perspective. And if we're looking at it in terms of the discomfort and the upset that Avraham would have had, so katan hu tsar preida to me'artzo, mi'preidat moladato. The distress he would feel about leaving the country is less than he would feel about leaving his birthplace. And the distress he feels about leaving his birthplace is less than the stress distress he would feel about leaving his father's home. And that's why it's addressing it from what's least painful to what's most painful, so that Avraham Avinu should get rewarded for every aspect of what he's done. Kederach Omro, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says later on, Et Bincha, Et Yekidcha, Asher Ahavta, gives him a reward for every aspect of the Akedah. So here too, Avraham Avinu got a reward for every aspect of leaving Ur Kasdim, where he was going from. Now, a question which is addressed by a number of Mefarshim is, this all seems to be a bit out of the blue. It's true, at the end of last week's parasha, we were told that Avraham Avinu was born, but here, at the beginning of Lech Lecha, we just jump straight into it. Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, Lech Lecha me'artzecha. We're not given any information about why Avraham was chosen. At least with Noach, we know that Noach ish tzadik tamim haya b'dorotav, that Noach was a righteous person, and therefore, in the light of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided he was the one who was going to be saved. With Avraham, we're not told anything about his previous life. We have lots of midrashim about it, but we have no hard facts in Chumash. And the question is, why not? So as I say, this is a question which is addressed by a number of mefarshim. I want to look at two comments on it from fairly modern mefarshim. The first is Rav David Zvi Hoffman, 19th century German halachist and commentator. And he makes the suggestion there are two reasons, perhaps, why we don't need to know what happened before Avraham Avinu, or before Parshat Lech Lecha. Two reasons. So let's see what he says. Ha'achat. First of all, Shemor Ugdulato Shel Avraham Avinu Hayu Yudim Lador Mekablei HaTorah B'Midah Rabah Kol Kach. He says Avraham Avinu's story and everything that he had that happened with him was well known to the Israelites in the Midbar when they got the Torah. Ad Shelo Hayakol Tzorek LaHakir Otam Lahem Alidei Tiurim Shel Yemeinu Urav Ozuchuyotav. To the extent that everybody's grown up on stories about Avraham Avinu, and therefore there was no need to include them in the Torah. We're only interested in the most critical aspects of Avraham Avinu's life, and all the other aspects, or everything that's included in the Midrashim, is nice to know, doesn't need to be written in the Torah, and it was known anyhow. Everybody knew it. It was what people talked about. It was the stories they'd been told on their mother's laps. And therefore, it was superfluous. For Acheret, the second answer, which I find a little bit more convincing, Ma'asav shel Avraham Avinu kufi shehem tuarim b'farshiyot haba'ot. The episodes that we're going to see in the parshiyot of Lech Lecha, Vayera, and Chayei Sarah, they're enough, they're sufficient to tell us what sort of person Avraham Avinu was. We see repeatedly that he builds Mizbachot. He's willing to disassociate or leave Lot, his relative, in order that there should be peace between him and Lot. And he also risks his life for Lot. We see him repeatedly withstanding the tests that are put his way. He does whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to. And we see that he wants to transmit his values about Hashem to the next generation. So if we see this is who Avraham Avinu is now, so it's unnecessary to have a detailed introduction that he's an appropriate person for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have chosen. We can see from the way that Avraham Avinu lived his life after he was chosen that he was obviously the type of person who was suitable to be chosen. So what Rav David Zvi Hoffman is telling us is essentially all that extra information is unnecessary. It would have only told us why Avraham was chosen, and we can see from his subsequent life why he was chosen, and therefore it becomes superfluous. Another suggestion appears in the Sefer Menachem Tzion of Rav Menachem Ben Tzion Sachs, which we've seen on a number of occasions. This Sefer, he was a Rav in Chicago in the mid-20th century. He was the son-in-law of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. And he asked a question, which again is asked by a number of commentators, is why is the episode of Avraham Avinu being thrown into the fiery furnace not mentioned anywhere? I once heard a famous story about Nechama Leibovitz. She used to give shiurim in many different contexts, and she used to give to chayalim in the army to make them more acquainted with their Jewish traditions and heritage. And one time she had a group of chayalim she was teaching Torah to, and she wanted to speak about Avraham. She gave them all chumashim. And she said, open your chumashim to the story of Avraham being thrown into the fiery furnace. And they're looking around. They know Is it before the Akedah, after the Akedah? Is it the end of Vayera, beginning of Vayera? Maybe it's the end of Lech Lecha. No, it can't be in Noach. And they can't find it anywhere. And she said, you can't find it anywhere because even though everybody knows this story, it's not actually in Chumash. And it's sort of interesting how the things, sort of, unless we're well acquainted with Chumash, there's sometimes a blurring and a confusion between what's Chumash and what's Midrash. But in any event, let's work on the assumption that Avraham being thrown into the fiery furnace was an event that happened. So why isn't it recorded in the Torah? And there, as I say, lots of answers suggested. Perhaps in future years we'll visit future answers. But I want to tell you what appears in the Sefer Menachem Tzion. We won't actually read it inside, but I'll tell you the gist of what he says. And the gist of what he says is because that wasn't such a test. To die as a Jew isn't as hard as it is to live as a Jew. As he says that, you know, sometimes it's easy. It's not easy. But sometimes it's easier to, you know, say, okay, right, I'm going to be a martyr. I'm going to, you know, it's less painful, less difficult for me to die as a Jew than it is to live that life. That's why he says that there's a famous notion that we talk about the Akedah. We always say that it's the Akedah, Sha'akad Avraham Avinu et Yitzchak Beno. We talk about it being a test for Avraham, not being a test for Yitzchak. Yitzchak was the one who was putting his life on the line. Why wasn't it a test for Yitzchak? So of course it was a test for Yitzchak. But for Yitzchak, he wouldn't have to live with it for the rest of his life. Avraham Avinu would have to live with the consequences for the rest of his life. I'd like to say it a little bit differently, because I don't think we should underplay the significance of a person giving up their life al Kiddush Hashem. I think that dying as a Jew is an immensely difficult test, and I don't think we should understate that. But I would say, perhaps, that what we're more interested in is how Avraham lived as a Jew and not how Avraham was prepared to die as a Jew. And also, this HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does he want from us ultimately? He doesn't want us dying as Jews. He wants us living as Jews. The fact that Avraham Avinu was willing to die as a Jew isn't so important. We could get hung up on that, fixated on that. Oh, look, Avraham Avinu, he was so committed, he was even willing to be thrown into the fiery furnace. That is such a test. No, we want to know how Avraham Avinu lived his life. That's what's most important to us. Okay. Still looking at the very first Psukim, we have right at the beginning of the Sedra, we're told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avraham Avinu that if he leaves his land, then Ve'eschal goy gadol va'varechecha va'gadla shemecha ve'ye bracha, I will turn you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will enlarge your name, ve'ye bracha, and you will be a source of blessing. And there's a Gemara, which, Rashi tells us, that there's Chalagoy Gadol, what does it mean? This Pasuk references the first bracha of the Amidah, that I will turn you into a great nation, Zesh Omrim Elokei Avraham. That's why we say Elokei Avraham in the beginning of the Amidah. Va'varechach, I will bless you, refers to Elokei Yitzchak, and I will make your name great, that refers to Elokei Yaakov. Yachol hayu chotmim b'chulan. I might have thought that the bracha should conclude Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. No, v'heye bracha, you will be a source of blessing. B'cha chotmim v'lo bahem. We finish the Amidah by mentioning you, Magen Avraham, and we don't mention them in the Chatima. So the Kotzker Rebbe asked, from where, you know, why should it only be Avraham Avinu gets the mention at the end? What was the mila of Avraham over Yitzchak and Yaakov that he should be mentioned? So he answered and he said that the three Avot, we know, represent three pillars on which the world stands. three pillars on which the world stands, Ala Torah, Ala Vodav, Ala Gemilut Chasadim. Torah was embodied by Yaakov Avinu, Ishtam Yoshev Alim. Yitzchak was, embodied the concept of Avodah, of the service in the Beit HaMikdash. He was about to be offered up as a Korban. And Avraham Avinu, as we know, he represented Gemilut Chasadim. He was the epitome of kindness. So each one of them represents one of these three pillars. And at the end of the day, at the time of the Chatima, at the end of the day, there'll be a period when Torah and Avodah, there's not so much emphasis on them. But Nez will be too difficult for people. People will be distracted by other things. However, Gemilut Chasadim will always endure. As the Navi Yeshaya says, Tzion b'mishpat yipadeh v'shaveh ha-bitztaka. How will Tzion be redeemed? It will be redeemed through Tzion, through Mishpat and Tzedakah, through justice and through righteousness. And therefore, the Chatima, the end of days, is focusing on the Tzedakah, on the Gemilut Chasadim of Avraham Avinu. It's not that that Tkufa will be focused on Torah and Avodah so much, but the critical focus will be on Gemilut Chasadim. And I think that's an important lesson for us at this time as well, the importance of Chesed. And we're seeing this, Baruch Hashem, in Eretz Yisrael and further afield as well in these difficult days. There is a great emphasis on Chesed, recognizing that that is really what's needed at the moment to protect Am Yisrael. Okay, let's move on to the second theme in the parasha, which is the fact that no sooner had Avraham Avinu arrived in Eretz Yisrael, that it seems that he was now sent on his way to Mitzrayim. There was Vahira Av Baretz, Vahirat Avraham Mitzrayim Alagor Shem, Ki Chavet Harav Baretz. He'd come to Eretz Yisrael, it was struck by famine, and now he feels he has to, he relocated. He wasn't instructed to relocate, but he felt he needed to relocate because of the famine. And there's a very famous Ramban that is worth repeating. The Ramban who says, V'daki Avraham Avinu chata chet gadol bishkaga. Avraham Avinu sinned grievously when he went down to Mitzrayim. Shevi ishto ha-tzadeket v'michshol avomit p'nei pachato pen yahargu, with regards to what he did with Sarai, allowing Paro to take her. He should have had some faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would save him. And the fact that he left Eretz Yisrael, which he'd been commanded to go to, that was also a sin. Under circumstances of famine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can save him. And it's actual fact that it was the result of this that his descendants were decreed that they would spend time in Mitzrayim. So this is very important because it's a point of great discussion amongst the Mepharshim. Can we say that Avraham Avinu made a mistake? So the Ramban says very much that he can do. There are lots who take issue with the Ramban or don't want this Ramban to be shared and focused on. We shouldn't think of the Avot and the Gedolei Olam as being people who can make mistakes. But that's not what the Ramban says. The Ramban says he did make a mistake. And in actual fact, Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, he sees something positive in the fact that the Torah tells us that Avraham Avinu made a mistake. He says, the Torah never hides from us the faults, errors and weaknesses of our great men. Just by that it gives the stamp of veracity to what it relates. But in truth, by the knowledge which is given us of their faults and weaknesses, our great men are in no wise made lesser, but actually greater and more instructive. If they stood before us as the purest models of perfection, we should attribute them as having a different nature, which has been denied to us. Were they without passion, without internal struggles, their virtues would seem to us the outcome of some higher nature, hardly a merit and certainly no model that we could hope to emulate. Take, for instance, Moshe's Anava. Did we not know that he could also fly into a passion? His meekness and modesty would seem to us to be his inborn natural disposition. and lost to us as an example. Just as Shimon Ha-Amorim gives his anava, its true greatness, shows it to us as the result of a great work of self-control and self-ennoblement, which we should all copy because we all could copy. The Torah also shows us no faults without at the same time letting us see the greater or lesser evil consequences. From our great teachers of the Torah, and truly Ramban can be recognized amongst the very greatest, we would accordingly learn that it may never be our task to whitewash the spiritual and moral heroes of our past, to appear as apologists for them. They do not require our apologies, nor do such attempts become them. Truth is the seal of our Torah, and truthfulness is the principle of all its true and great commentators and teachers. All this, if we would have to say with Ramban, Chata Avram Avinu Chet Gedola Bishgaga, that yes, Avram Avinu made a mistake. But Rav Hirsch is telling us something very powerful. He's telling us that in knowing that our leaders and our great men made mistakes, empowers us to become as great as them. If it was that they never made an error, they never put a foot wrong, then we think that greatness can only be achieved by people who have no faults and foibles at all. And therefore we can't achieve that greatness. But when we see that they have a human dimension, just like us, and nevertheless they became great, then we should come round to the realization that we can also become great as well. On this theme of Avraham Avinu going down to Mitzrayim, I want to pick up on a small technicality before we then look at one major idea. So a small technicality is, how could Avraham Avinu allow Sarai to go and live with Paro? Firstly, there was a concern that, you know, she was a married woman. And second of all, obviously the concern that something terrible would happen to her. But how could he let a married woman go and live with Paro? So the Sforno says as follows. That Avraham Avinu said, you know, I want you to say that your sister, so that they'll be nice to me. L'mang she'tomri she'atachoti, yikaveh kol echad mehem she'asiyacha lo. So that once we come along and say, this is my sister, everybody will want to marry her. Everybody will want me to marry you off to them. For lo yachshov shum echad mehem lahargeini, nobody will try killing me. Aval yitav li b'moav matan, everybody will try and give me a good dowry for you. K'mo sha'ayim in ha'gaz sha'ayim v'fatim et avi ha'isha b'moav krovah b'migdanot. Just as that's what used to happen in those days, that the family used to get given nice gifts. So that they'll give her to whoever they decide is the best husband or who gives the most money. We see the notion of giving a dowry. And Avraham Avinu's plan was that they'd escape in the meantime. So he never intended Sarai to go and live with Paro. And he never intended her to be in any danger. He simply said, you know, let's go along as brother and sister. If we go along as husband and wife, so then the only way that they can get you is by killing me. But if we go along as brother and sister, then they can legitimately marry you. And, you know, we'll use that as a stalling technique. And in the meantime, we'll be able to escape. That, says the Sforno, was Avraham Avinu's plan. Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg in Hakatava HaKabbalah has a different answer. And he says that in actual fact what happened was that marriage, the rules of marriage were different prior to Matan Torah. Prior to Matan Torah, the Rambam tells us, at the beginning of Hilchot Ishut, he tells us, how did you get married prior to Matan Torah? Man would be walking in the street and he finds a nice lady that he wants to take as his wife, they would simply set up a home together and he'd treat her like his wife and they'd live together. There was no formal marriage ceremony, but you became married with presumably responsibilities of fidelity and responsibilities of supporting each other, etc., etc., by living together. And how did you become divorced by separating from each other. This was the difference between a casual relationship and a formal relationship. If you're formally, in those times, if you were formally married, so you would say, okay, let's play husbands and wives. And if you wanted to separate, say, okay, you know, this relationship has come to an end. We're separating. And that was sufficient. So what Avraham Avinu was doing here was he was divorcing Sarai. He was saying, okay, we're going to live separate lives now because that way we will be safe. I love you very much. I would like to stay married to you, but we can't. So let's split, let's divorce. And what they went through was a divorce. In those days, a divorce didn't involve a get and a Beit Din, etc., etc. But that's what's happened from a technical perspective. Okay, we've got time for one more point that I want to share with you. And this is, I think, perhaps one of the most important ideas that comes out of this week's parasha. And it appears in the Sefer Emet Yaakov, Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, one of the Gedolim of the 20th century in America, the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vdat. And he looks at Avraham Avinu's relationship with Lot. Now, there's a lot to say about it. And we know that Avraham Avinu and Lot, they parted ways because of various moral and ethical issues. Nevertheless, when Lot got into trouble with being captured, so Avraham Avinu dropped everything and went and saved him. And Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky says,
if
Avraham Avinu had come, say to Shem, and asked a shayla, do I have to save Lot? Then without a doubt, the answer would have been that he's patur. You don't have to put yourself into a situation even of possible danger in order to save somebody else. Now, we've had a discussion about this, I think, on previous occasions, famous Meshech Chochma in Parashat Shemot, and the whole question in the Achronim, to what degree do you have to endanger yourself to save somebody else? But certainly when the probability is quite high of you coming to harm, you don't have to do it. So our question is, why did Avraham Avinu go and do that? And his answer is very important. He says, Elamasha asa bet kein Avraham. The reason why Avraham did this, humishum shavot nikru yesharim, is because the avot were known as the yesharim, the upright people. V'hainu shekol hanhagatam hayata lo al pi dinei haTorah, ela al pi haseichel hayashar. They didn't feel necessarily they were bound and tied down to only doing what the Torah demanded of them, but they followed Seichel Hayashar, they followed what seemed right and correct. Ki'alokim asayit adam yashar. Mankind was created to do the right thing. V'alpi ha-yosher hayamutal Avraham lishtatel ha-tzilet Lot. From a halachic perspective, Avraham Avinu didn't have to go and save Lot. But Avraham Avinu did go and save Lot because it was the right thing to do. He felt himself responsible for Lot's welfare. Haran, Lot's father, had died in the Kivshan Ha'esh because he believed like Avraham Avinu did, or he said he believed like Avraham Avinu did, in the God of Avraham. V'lachein al pi ha-yosher, and therefore, because it was the right thing to do, it's what he could menschlich kite, hukrach Avraham laharikit chanichav livdof achar ha-malachim. Therefore, Avraham understood that he had to go and chase after the malachim to save Lot. And this, I think, is a real, really important idea, because what he's telling us is, that's what was so unique about the Avot. Why were they chosen? This goes back to the question, why was Avraham Avinu chosen? Maybe we find the answer in this particular episode, because Avraham Avinu was a person who knew to do the right thing, and that ultimately is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us. He gives us laws in the Torah, he gives us mitzvot that we have to do. The halacha gives us exact criteria. In this circumstance you do have to save somebody, in that circumstance you don't have to save somebody. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not the right thing to do to go beyond the letter of the law. And that's what Avraham Avinu was able to do. And that was the greatness of Avraham Avinu. And I think that might be the demonstration of why Avraham Avinu was chosen, but certainly why he is such an inspirational character and role model and person to found, as it were, Am Yisrael. So that's the end of tonight's shiur. Thank you all for joining us. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we will resume